Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, middle of the week, hump day, and halfway through the week here. Before we get into the news here, I just want to share something with you. Normally when I'm doing the prep for the show, when I'm getting ready to do the show, is I'll go around the TV channels and just on the remote, just see what's out there, check the news channels and so forth. And I just happened to drift by one of our local Olelo channels. Now, Olelo is a local organization for the production of community television. It provides a lot of educational opportunity for kids, gets them into a real studio, lets them produce real TV shows, editing, production, the whole thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful facility. And they also show a lot of pre-made documentaries. Basically, you can go in, say, I want to be a producer or a presenter. You go through a short course, you get certified, and then you can basically put things on the air. And they've got about five channels here through Roadrunner. And I was just going through the dials, and I just saw this video of the collapsing towers of New York City on 9/11. And so I just went to the guide, and they're showing the documentary Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And it is significant because, first of all, that this stuff is getting shown on cable TV is very important, because this is how the word for this kind of stuff gets out there. And you all have community TV in your local cable provider. It is a requirement for them to have the franchise. There must be one channel, at least one channel, set aside for local community-oriented programming. Sometimes the stuff on there can be very, very bizarre. I remember when I was involved with community TV in the San Fernando Valley, there was some very bizarre, you know, borderline porno programs going out on there. But there was some serious stuff as well. And the reason this is important is this is very often the first time a lot of people will see this stuff. And I know this from personal experience, because many, many, many years ago, before I lived here in Hawaii, and I was still living in Southern California with my gorgeous wife, Claire, and I came out here to the island of Maui to briefly interview for a position with a company called Synchromix, which was down on Maui, and they had a wonderful facility in the high-tech park in Kihei. And they were basically utilizing the computers of the Maui High Performance Computing Center down there, which is an incredibly powerful computer facility. A lot of fun if you're into the geek stuff. And while I was staying at this little condo that I'd rented for the duration of my trip to come out here to see if I could go to work for Synchromix, I just happened to be watching the local community television, and that was the first time I saw The Clinton Chronicles, which was a film from Jeremiah Films. And it was just such an eye-opener, because I'd only just started to, I'd just stumbled across the issue about the murder of Vincent Foster. And I really hadn't gotten much further beyond this very obvious indications that there had been a murder in a very high part of the government. You know, I mean, Vince Foster was the highest level official to die around or near the White House since Kennedy was killed. So, watching this Clinton's Chronicle, and of course I immediately took down the address and I ordered a copy of the videotape, this filled in all the backstory, and all of a sudden, all kinds of things that I'd stumbled across while looking into the murder of Vincent Foster, it all began to make sense. It all fit together into this cohesive whole. So kudos to Olelo for showing this, and if you have local community TV, it is very valuable to get the DVDs from these companies, like from Alex Jones. Alex Jones encourages you to, you know, acquire his videos, download them, whatever, take them to community TV, get them on the air anyway, because the goal here is to get the truth out. Okay, this is not about fame, it's not about fortune, it's not about having statues carved in your likeness, only better for the birds to sit on and everything. It is about getting the truth out. It is about, really, ultimately, giving the powers that be a reason to call off the rush toward World War III, which is just going to be a big drag on everybody. So, nice that it's happening, and you might want to keep an eye on your own local community television. There might be some stuff coming up there that the regular corporate media would never, ever dare show. And it's just very, it's a tremendous validation to see this up there, because they're showing video clips and still clips from, you know, which I've been showing in my website for years and years. And to see it up there on the same TV that shows Fox News on those rare occasions when I tune into it. So it's kind of a nice thing to see. All right, getting into the news here. Donovan is in the control room. Our phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. We've got lots to talk about today. Starting off with the financial news, Gravity caught up with the Dow Jones Industrial Average today. You know, we had that on Monday. It just went up 200 points on the same day that General Motors, the icon of American industry, went bankrupt and closed 12 factories and let go 20,000 people. And the Dow Jones went up 200 points because of great manufacturing in China, so forth and so on. Yesterday, kind of sort of held at level. Today, fell off more than 120 points. So gravity has reasserted itself. And as I said on Monday, I think the reason they were really pushing the Dow up there. And by the way, there is an article on the front of whatreallyhappened.com today where other people are beginning to realize that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is completely delinked from what's going on Main Street America. Whatever the Dow is doing or measuring, it's got nothing to do with how good the economy is or how bad the economy is for you and I and the guy next door and the girl across the street and so forth and so on. So they've noticed it, but the Dow did come back down again today. Now, ADP, the payroll people, whose numbers seem to be a little bit more trustworthy than those coming out of the federal government, they are reporting 532,000 private sector job losses in the month of May. Now, this is not quite as many as we have seen in some preceding months. Is this a sign of slowing or improvement? No, because actually what it means is there are just that much fewer jobs to lose. You know, eventually you don't have enough jobs where you can lose that many. The bottom line is we are still seeing job losses. And behind that number, behind that 532,000, there are hundreds of thousands more of people who have lost a higher paying job and have had to take a lower paying job to replace it, which is the real hidden disaster of the current economy. And like I said last week, USA Today reported income tax revenues for the federal government are off by 44% from last year. That is the true measure of how Americans' earning ability has plummeted. It's not just the 6 million, 7 million, 8 million people who are without work. It is the fact that those people who do have work are working at lower paying jobs. American workers as a whole are only earning 56% of what they were just 1 year ago. Just 1 year ago. I mean, that is a huge, huge loss. So anyway, now, interestingly enough, we are still seeing Barack Obama get up there at his press conferences, wherever he happens to be landing that jet today, and basically gets up and says, you know, that the stimulus plan has saved so many jobs or created so many jobs and so forth and so on. The bottom line is here, first of all, this is given the lie by the very obvious continuing job losses, not only reported by ADP, but even the official U.S. government Labor Department is saying we are continuing to hemorrhage jobs. They're just going away. But the bottom line is, if you carefully analyze where the stimulus money went, and more to the point, the fact that it's very hard to track where it's really wound up, it is actually impossible to say how many jobs have been created or saved at all by the stimulus. So this is just more of this propaganda thing, this rah-rah, the green shoots and the glimmers of hope and the lights at the end of the tunnel and all these other little poetic euphemisms they're trying to use to convince you that things really aren't bad enough yet to justify tarring and feathering our political leadership. And this is just more of the same. There are no serious statisticians or economists who are going to go out and say that they can identify how many, if any, jobs have been created or saved specifically by the stimulus spending, especially since the stimulus money has gone into Wall Street, was supposed to turn around and be available for loans to small businesses to create jobs. That hasn't happened. Advanta canceled all their small business credit cards last week. So and people are saying they can't get loans to refinance, they can't do any of this stuff. The money is not coming back out of the banking systems because they're sitting on it to unwind from the derivatives. So that's a very reckless and quite inaccurate statement to claim that X number of jobs have been created or saved by the stimulus. It just isn't true. It's just more propaganda. They're just blowing smoke and opium at you. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about California and the problems therein and how they're trying to get out of them. If you want to join us on the air, the number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we will be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here today. And we're going to shift our attention here to California. We're still talking about finances. We're talking about the economy. California was reportedly only 14 days away from running out of money under the current fiscal plan. Late last night, they averted the meltdown and passed what they are calling a balanced budget. It cleared the California State Senate by one vote. That's how tight it was. It's the kind of deal-making that was going on. Schwarzenegger is going to sign this thing and celebrate what a wonderful little financial manager he is. They're calling it a balanced budget. It is nothing of the kind. Yes, they are slashing state spending in the various social services. They're not, apparently, as anybody can tell, they're not cutting any of the money used for spying on the California people or anything like that. Not a mention about cutting services to the illegal aliens. But what they are doing is they are, in fact, going to raise taxes significantly. This absolutely in defiance of the will of the voters expressed only a week ago. So the California legislature and the governor have just told the people of California, you know, up yours, effectively, we don't care what you think. We're going to raise the taxes. And on top of that, in order to get the budget to balance, they still had to go out and incur new debt. They have not learned a thing from the disaster that they're already in. Their solution is get another credit card, go borrow some more money. That's their solution. It is not a balanced budget. If it was balanced, they would not have to borrow more money to deal with it. And, of course, obviously, this is, you know, as the taxes go up, it means that people are going to be cutting back. Their retail is going to slow down. More jobs will be lost. It's going to accelerate. It's going to accelerate the decline here. Now, the state's unemployment fund in California is rapidly running out of money. There are so many people out of work in California, and there is so little money coming back in through the payroll taxes for the people who are working, that they are projecting a $17 billion, almost $18 billion deficit debt by the end of 2010. So the situation is not under control. They've got a budget so that they can go on funding the state operations, and they can go on spending the money. But they're just borrowing more. They're borrowing more. They're cutting services. They're raising taxes. And unemployment is still going to be in serious, serious trouble. All right, we got a couple of callers on the line real quick. We're going to go to Brad in Kentucky. Aloha, Brad. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha. Just want to know if you heard about this program that was on ABC last night called Earth 2100.
Yeah, I watched it briefly.
Was that not total propaganda or what?
Yeah, it was. I got to the first commercial break and then I switched over to the comedy channel. So what can I tell you? And I got more laughs over there. And it's more propaganda. And look how much money they're spending to sell you this idea of global warming and you got to pay a carbon tax and blah 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 blah. Does anybody spend millions of dollars to make a film to assure you that the moon orbits the Earth or that the Earth orbits the sun or anything like that? No, it's a given. It's self-evident. You can go out and you can see for yourself what the actual science is. But ever since his first movie, Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore is spending hundreds of millions of dollars to sell this idea to the people of the world. And they're desperate to push this over because if they get this carbon cap and credit system in place, it's, you know, they'll make billions and billions of dollars. They're already doing that in Europe. They got it in place in Europe. And it's not helping the environment at all. It's just another way to get money out of the people to convince you that, yes, you got to, it's just a few more cents here and a few more cents there, but, you know, it's going to save the earth from you icky poo humans and so forth and so on.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all about reducing pollution.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Water. You know?
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Yes, we should be controlling our pollution. We should be taking care of those resources that we have. You know, I love nature. What little of it is really left. But you know something? I'm part of nature, too. And so is this computer, and so is this microphone. But the whole global warming situation, it is classic snake oil politics, because they're taking something that happens naturally. Climate is always changing. It never stays the same. And they're trying to... Yeah.
Uh-huh. I saw an article that just came out today on Yahoo that these scientists, they did some mapping of Antarctica with a ground penetrating radar, and apparently, according to them, 14 million years ago, Antarctica looked very much like the Alps.
Mm-hmm.
There were rivers flowing, so that, you know, that, don't you find that very interesting?
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, you know, the climate is always changing, and what they discovered during the brief period the Greenland ice sheet was retracting, now it's expanding again, they found archaeological remains of human habitation. So the reality is the Earth has been far warmer than it is right now, and it's also been far colder, and it's always oscillating between the two. But Al Gore is trying to turn it into a crisis requiring us to surrender more money and more control over our lives. And I'm glad you brought this up. Because there's a couple of stories. Yesterday we were talking about how Barack Obama, who stands right next to Al Gore and says, yes, global warming and carbon tax and all the rest of that, and yet he turns around and he slashes 25% of the funding for ocean wave power, which is a carbon-free means of generating electricity. And then today we're hearing that Barack Obama is going to give the go-ahead for this complete removal of entire mountains to get at the coal underneath. They're bringing back burning coal as a power source. And that's going to put more carbon into the air.
That's a total contradiction, isn't it?
That's exactly my point. The whole global warming scam is just another way to take money from you and exert more control over your lives, and they're not really concerned about carbon in the atmosphere, or else they would be seeing it in the other policies. We would be seeing more money to wave energy research, and we'd say, okay, let's stop burning the oil if that's the problem. Let's stop burning the coal if carbon is the problem. We're not seeing their actions line up with their words. Of course, he's a politician, so what can I tell you? Yeah, it is. It is a huge scam, and again, the very fact that they're spending so much money to try and sell this to you is itself a cause for suspicion that there is a big smokescreen going on here. I mean, let's face it, Al ripped off not only storyline, he ripped off actual scenes from a movie I worked on called The Day After Tomorrow to try and say, yes, the polar ice caps are melting.
Oh, you worked on that?
Yeah, I worked on that.
Oh, I didn't know that. Huh.
Well, that's my day job. I work in visual effects, and I worked on that movie, and I got into so many fights with the producers of the show because I kept telling them, guys, this isn't real science. What you're showing here doesn't, it does, coal does
it
not does. Chase you down the hallway, you know?
Yeah, it's pseudoscience, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I just wish that there was, for once, some intelligent debate on the subject, you know? And I don't think we're ever going to get it from the mainstream media.
No, you won't get it from the mainstream media. They're basically there to sell you the advertising that the world is getting warmer, it's the fault of you people, and you're going to have to pay us money to atone. So, Brad, we're going to have to let you go here. Jacob, stay on the phone. We're going to get to you right after these commercial breaks here. This is the What Really Happened radio show. I'm your host, Mike Rivero, and we will be right back.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. Tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones. Jacob in Illinois. Aloha, Jacob. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, sir. I just, first time I ever heard you was yesterday, I believe, on Alex Jones's show. I listen to him regularly. Familiar with your website. I'm definitely going to check out your podcast tonight. I guess my question is, I'm still holding on to my job right now.
Good.
I don't have many assets, if any, to speak of. I'm in an apartment. I've got debt around $5K. I'm just kind of, never heard anybody talk about this, so I'm just kind of curious what you think is going to happen with the debt that people have as the economy worsens, if people aren't able to pay. It would be better for me to use the money that I've got in the bank to buy up gold or whatever it is, like hard assets, or whether it would be better to pay down the debt that I have.
Well, you know, I am absolutely the last person to be handing out financial advice to anybody. All you got to do is take a good look at my bank account, and you'll realize I'm nobody's idea of a financial expert. But just in general, I think the best advice that I tend to hand out is diversification is always going to be a big key to success and survival, that you don't want to pile all your money in one place. As a general rule of thumb, what I recommend to people is only keep as much money in the bank as you need to cover your checks. Because if there is another bank closing or a bank failure or a run on the bank or anything, you can be kept from accessing your own deposits for up to several days. So, I mean, it's a common sense approach that you would have in preparing for a hurricane or an earthquake. You know, keep enough money in the bank to cover your checks. Keep the rest in cash at home. Have a small portion of it, yes, in gold and silver, because that is definitely a good hedge against the hyperinflation that we all know is coming. And, you know, that's about the best that I can do. Now, $5K in debt, that's actually pretty good compared to most people. But the bottom line is that the federal government has borrowed itself into a huge hole, and how it's dealing with that is it transfers its debt to the states by taking money from the states and giving back a little bit less. So the states then have to borrow to cover their shortfalls. And it just keeps on percolating down, and they keep raising taxes on us, and certainly this last year, I think a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs and small business people, they get down to this point where there just flat out isn't enough money because it's all being sucked away up to Wall Street, and they're having to make choices between paying for medical care and paying for the mortgage and paying for food and paying for taxes and paying for whatever. And so the bottom line is that at a time when we're all trying to deal with our debts, the U.S. government sent our jobs away. They changed the tax codes to make it attractive for large corporations to shift high-paying manufacturing jobs to other countries. And it has had a dire impact. Like I said, federal tax revenues are off 44% from last year, according to USA Today. And that basically means that Americans are making only slightly more than half of what they were this time last year. Now, the debts haven't gone down. If anything, you know, the adjustable rate mortgages keep going up. We're all caught between a rock and a hard place. And at some point, something's going to break.
Yeah, I guess I'm just kind of wondering who's going to wind up with this debt that I've got if I don't get it paid off. And what, I guess I just don't know, like, if the government's going to come out with some kind of amnesty or some kind of program where people that are so far in debt, like, just it seems like they can't support all the bankruptcies that seem like they're going to be occurring if the economy keeps going in the way that it's going.
Well, I would agree with you there, and you have to remember, a few years ago, we kind of got the warning sign this was coming because the government changed the rules to make filing for bankruptcy that much more difficult. But the bottom line is, I mean, you know, the banks and the mortgage companies and the insurance companies, they're all getting bailouts. How come we, the people who are paying for all of it to begin with, how come we're not getting a bailout? Now, the government cannot give you amnesty from debts that you have incurred voluntarily, like with your credit card company and your mortgage companies. The government could give you amnesty on your income taxes, but I don't think we're going to see that happen anytime soon. In fact, they're already talking about raising taxes again. Because that's their solution. But the bottom line here is Congress was looking at a bill to grant some relief to mortgage holders, and they basically voted it down. So I think the reality that all of us have to live with right now is the government does not care about you, the people, anymore. They're just going to take care of their big campaign donors in the banking industry and Israel, and the rest of you are just SOL. You're on your own. And it's just like when the Titanic was going down and the people with the political power and the money, they got the lifeboats and everybody else got to ride the ship down into the North Atlantic. And you and I and pretty much everybody else listening to this broadcast, we're the ones locked down in steerage class. And that water's getting up around our ankles. And when it gets to my lower lip, I'm going to start yelling. Okay, Jacob?
Yep, thank you very much. Have a good night.
All right, you got it there. All right, that was Jacob there. Now, here's the situation with Obama right now. He's over there in Israel, and he's doing his Mideast tour. And I think Obama is already the most traveled president in American history. He's out there. He's got that 747 Air Force One, and it's got all the hot rodding and all the special features that regular 747s don't get. And he's enjoying himself. He's just all over the place, and, you know, we almost don't even need the White House anymore. Let's just turn it into a museum or an art gallery or a craft center or something like that, because Obama is running the country from Air Force One here. Now, interestingly enough, Obama is over there talking about maybe cooling the settlements in the occupied territories. And you need to understand, those settlements, they talk about the legal settlements and the illegal settlements. That's from Israel's point of view, because they say this one's okay, this one's not. The reality is they are all illegal under international law because they're all being built in occupied territory. And Israel's membership in the United Nations was stipulated. They had to accept that Palestinians had a right of return to their original homes from which they were displaced, or if the Palestinians chose not to come back, Israel had to compensate them for the land. Well, Israel is doing neither. They're going into these Palestinian lands, the occupied territories, and they're building all these settlements. And it's a complete defiance of international law. So they're all illegal. So Barack Obama, in an effort to try and cool things down in terms of the Middle East tensions, he's gone in and said, maybe you guys ought to call a halt to those settlements and stop building anymore. And immediately, of course, the government of Israel is saying, you're interfering with our internal politics. And the Likud is saying, Obama's gone across the line. He's interfering with our internal politics. What do they think AIPAC is doing to the United States? What do they think all these Israeli spies that they arrest and then have to let go have been doing to the United States? What about Ariel Sharon yelling at Shimon Peres, we the Jewish people control America and the Americans know it? Seems to me there's a little bit of a double standard where Israel seems to arrogate to itself the right to interfere in America's politics and to buy our Congress out from under us and to use whatever means they can to get rid of Congress people they don't approve of. And yet when Barack Obama goes in and says, let's enforce the international law that governs this situation, then all of a sudden we're going to start hearing about the sovereignty of a nation and how other countries should not come in and interfere with us. So I logged on to that little contact page at the White House. They don't accept email at president@whitehouse.gov anymore. You get an auto return saying, please go to our contact page. And I went into the contact page and I said, dear President Obama, kindly stop interfering with Israel. And while you are at it, stop sending those checks full of our tax dollars to Israel. Israel's attitude proves they do not need it, and they are not the least bit grateful for it. And in any event, all those weapons the U.S. has paid for that are being dropped on Palestine are in all probability killing the modern-day relatives of Jesus. And I seriously doubt any of us will get into heaven with that on our souls. I understand from the Old Testament that the big boss does know how to carry a grudge. So here's the bottom line. If Israel does not want to listen to our advice, then Israel should not be expecting any financial aid from us. Technically, it's illegal anyway under the Symington Act, because Israel has nuclear weapons. Even the U.S. Army admits it now officially. And they're not a signer to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. It is against U.S. law to send Israel any financial aid. I wish Obama would enforce that law. We'll be right back.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Just finishing up with the situation over in Israel. Apparently Netanyahu is simply ignoring Obama's entreaties to perhaps not continue to build in the occupied territories, which is a hideous insult to the Palestinians. It's their land that is being stolen before their eyes day after day after day after day. Netanyahu has come back basically saying he does not have to listen to Barack Obama's requests for a slowdown in the construction because of a secret deal that was made between the governments of Israel and the administration of George W. Bush that said that the settlement construction and expansion can continue without restraint. Now, obviously, it complicates our foreign policy when our political leaders are making secret deals that nobody else is entitled to understand what's going on. And I think probably the reason the deal was secret is because George Bush doesn't want it known to the American people just what Israel's part of the deal was. And probably came down something along the lines of, you let us continue to build settlements in the occupied territories or we'll tell the world what really happened on 9/11 or words to that effect. But basically, Netanyahu is citing the supposed secret deal as his justification to basically ignore any requests made by Barack Obama regarding settlements in the territory. And they're trying to basically de-link all of Obama's agendas from the issue of Iran. So from Israel's point of view is, what we're doing is none of your business. When are you going to go kill Iran for us? That seems to be Israel's complete negotiating position at this point. And what I want to know is, with you've heard the old saying, how sharper than a serpent's tooth to have a thankless child. Okay, Israel was originally set up to be an independent nation for the safety and security of the world's Jewish people. And yet everything the Israeli government does makes the world more dangerous for the world's Jewish people. And more to the point, Israel has cost the American taxpayer more than four times the entire cost of the Apollo moon program. And we don't have any giant leap for mankind to show for it. So with that kind of cash flow constantly flowing from our pockets to Israel, Israel does not qualify as an independent nation. They are not independent. And Barack Obama needs to understand that as long as Israel is dependent on money and on our weapons, sorry, my chair almost dropped over, as long as Israel is dependent on U.S. money and U.S. weapons, then the U.S. does have a say what Israel is going to do with them. Somebody in the United States government has got to understand that they can stop signing those checks at some point. Unless there is some great threat that Israel has over the United States that we, the people, are not being told about. Like maybe Israel already has several nuclear bombs stashed around the country. Or they are blackmailing our government with 9/11. Or whatever it is. We need to find out what this so-called special relationship is. Because so far, it's only special from Israel's point of view. They get money, they get weapons, they get obedience. What does the U.S. get from Israel that it is in any way, shape, or form a benefit to we, the people? I can't identify a single thing. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Kenny in Texas. Aloha, Kenny. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind today? Hello, is Kenny there? He just dropped. Okay, Kenny, I'm sorry I bored you off the phone there. All righty now, moving right along to some other stories here. A couple of stories here on the domestic front. First of all, the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power has started a campaign for you to keep an eye on your neighbors. And, of course, the first thing I thought of was this uncle of mine who was always keeping an eye on his neighbor until they arrested him for being a peeping Tom. But what the LADWP is actually talking about is, as we head into the summer and there are water shortages, they're setting up a system where you can fink out your neighbor for using too much water on their lawn, for running their sprinklers during the daytime instead of nighttime, which is supposedly wastes less water. In other words, they're training the entire country to be snitches and spies, just like the Stasi used to do in East Germany, just like the Nazis did in all of Germany, just like the GRU used to do in the Soviet Union. And we understand now that school children are being shown this educational DVD that is training them on how to spot potential terrorists. Now, the interesting thing, though, is terrorism is now defined along the same lines as the MIAC report. In other words, they're not looking for people who are building bombs or anything like that. They're looking for people who are saying that they don't agree with the government. They're looking for people who are talking about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. They're looking to people who are basically just saying, I'm unhappy with the way the country is being run. And they're getting our children to spy on the grown-ups. And again, this is right out of Hitler's Germany and Stalin's Soviet Union to recruit the children and brainwash them into spying on the adults. They're trying to create that same climate of fear here, where you're afraid to speak out because you don't know who's listening and who has just been convinced that reporting you to the authorities is the good, saintly, godlike thing to do, or whatever else they're going to do. Meanwhile, down in Texas, I don't know what it is about Texas. Maybe there's something in the water. But apparently this Travis County cop tasered a 72-year-old great-grandmother because she refused to sign a speeding ticket. And the cop claims he was forced to defend himself against this 72-year-old great-grandmother because she got violent in her refusal to sign the ticket. She didn't hit him or anything. She yelled at him. The police officer said, and I'm not kidding you, the cop said that because she used profanity, he feared for his life. And that was the justification for tasering a 72-year-old great-grandmother. I got to tell you, a cop afraid of losing his life because a little old lady is screaming bad words at him, they don't make police like they used to. They absolutely, certainly do not. Meanwhile, speaking of the United States Marine Corps and the few, the proud, the convicted, police have arrested a United States Marine Corps recruiter on charges of felony pimping, possibly statutory rape, kidnapping. Apparently, this recruiter was using a 14-year-old girl to entice potential recruits. They busted him. 33-year-old Marine recruiter in San Pedro. They busted him with this 14-year-old girl in a car with the recruiter and two other potential soldiers, 18 and 19, they were considering joining the Marines, and apparently this recruiter would arrange for this 14-year-old girl to do the ya-ya with these guys if they would sign up to be Marines. I mean, these are the depths the military is sinking to get your kids into a uniform and have them go over to wherever Israel says we are supposed to be killing brown people on their behalf so that they can catch bullets and depleted uranium and come back totally screwed up on experimental drugs and just the sheer experience of realizing they're the bad guys in this war. Now, interesting little statistic, and I have to stress this is anecdotal. But yesterday was our mail carrier on this route, his last day, so we went out and just said, you know, thanks for, you know, all the correctly delivered mail because we've had plenty of the other kinds and we're sorry to see you go and everything. He follows the show. He has a son who's serving in Iraq and we're very supportive of him. And we were talking about, we were making jokes about, you know, we can't complain to the post office about losing you because they'll start shooting at us. And he let slip an interesting fact that the post office generally does not put out. As you're probably aware, the United States Post Office does give a hiring preference to returning veterans, which I think on the face of it, this is a good thing. Right? They got to have a job to come back to. But apparently all the problems they've been having with disgruntled postal workers going postal and starting to shoot other people, it is always the returned veterans who do this. The civilian hired postal workers don't resort to guns. They don't lose their cool. They don't completely blow up. It is always the returning veterans who do this. And in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. Combat fatigue or delayed stress syndrome or whatever. But, it isn't the post office and it isn't the postal work that does it. It's having been in that environment where you're out there killing people, you're risking your life, being maimed, and it'll drive you crazy. No wonder they're out there throwing puppies off the cliff. They know they're the bad guys. History is always going to remember the U.S. forces in this particular time of our history as the bad guys, the aggressors, the invaders, the conquerors. That's history's verdict. And a lot of kids are just saying, well, if that's the way they're going to treat me, I might as well act like it. And they get that way. All right, that's the end of our show. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 p.m. Central Time. Same time, more news, more phone calls. Until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, drive carefully, and aloha, America.